A push to create jobs, but what about the housing mess?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama this morning is sending his $450 billion jobs plan to Congress, saying today it is a plan that leaders from both parties can agree on to get America working again.
This is a bill that will put people back to work all across the country. This is the bill that will help our economy in a moment of national crisis. This is a bill that is based on ideas from both Democrats and Republicans. And this is the bill that Congress needs to pass.
President Obama at the White House just this past hour. Now, the president's plan would give aid to the unemployed, would help local communities and states, and most of the plan extends tax credits and incentives to people and businesses. What it largely ignores is the nation's housing crisis. A quarter of all homes in the United States are either foreclosed or underwater. And analysts say in order to fix the job market, there needs to be attention on the housing market. Don Lee is the Washington correspondent for the LA Times. He wrote a story about it today, and he's with us now. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Steve.
You got it. What is the connection between high unemployment and this really depressed housing market?
You know, with unemployment at 9% and many more people with part-time jobs, even though they want full-time jobs, and millions more afraid that they might lose their jobs, there just isn't a lot of confidence. And if you don't have confidence or jobs and income's growing, you're not going to be going out there looking to buy a house. That's probably the last thing you want to do.
And so construction suffers and people aren't building, right?
It's a lot more if you think about it, because home prices and housing equity has traditionally supported small businesses who are doing startups and expanding. They support, you know, furniture manufacturers, architects, accountants, the taxes from properties, you know, help support schools and fire districts. And so all these things are linked together.
Well, what are the president's options to address and to fix the housing market?
Well, I think the president can look at some options that people have put forth. One is, you know, we can expect a million properties this year to be taken over by lenders, another million next year, and many of them will be sitting vacant and will fall into disrepair. So one option is to find ways to convert them to rental properties. You know, one idea is to package them and make them attractive to investors. And we might also have to give some opportunities for people to return some of the properties to banks and perhaps stay on as renters. And so I think those are some of the things that it might consider.
Don Lee, reporter for the LA Times based in Washington. Don, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ is up about a tenth of a percent, but the Dow is lower by half a percent, 59 points, 10,932. Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan unveiled to investors today a plan to cut $5 billion a year by 2013. In order to do that, the company also announced today it's going to cut 30,000 jobs within the next few years. Global stock markets have slumped, and the euro has dropped sharply today on fresh fears of a Greek default. The 20-month-long eurozone debt crisis is gathering pace now, and Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
Greece has been bailed out only so long as it makes deep cuts in public spending and hefty tax hikes. The government in Athens is failing to deliver, and the Germans, who foot much of the bill for the bailout, are losing patience. They threaten to cut off further aid for the Greeks. Senior politicians in Berlin for the first time talk openly about Greece defaulting and leaving the eurozone. That, says analyst Daniel Gross, has got investors worried about other countries that use the euro.
What if financial markets think, if that can happen to Greece, next day it will happen to Portugal and then to Spain, Italy? Then, of course, all hell breaks loose.
He believes the crisis will come to an end when the Germans finally agree to bail out all the eurozone's weaker economies. But they'll only do that when the euro is on the brink of collapse. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a raise-your-rate four-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. and by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Today we found out exports of Scotch whiskey from the UK topped $2.8 billion for the first half of this year, a 22% rise over the same time last year, despite an economy that's on the rocks. From London, here's the BBC's Kate McGough.
Whiskey accounts for a quarter of Britain's food and drink exports, with around 569 million bottles exported in the first 6 months of this year. Paul Walsh is the chief executive of Diageo, a company that makes around a dozen brands of whisky. He thinks it's the global appeal of whisky's high-end image that's kept people drinking throughout the financial crisis, not a collective drowning of economic sorrows.
In many markets around the world, Scotch is seen as combining the wonderful attributes of authenticity, heritage, provenance, together with a lifestyle product. It's something people aspire to.
That seems to be the case for Asia and South America. Exports to emerging markets like Taiwan and Brazil were up by more than half over the year. But the biggest market for premium Scotch whisky is still the US. Shipments have jumped 14% since 2010, despite uncertainty and stalled consumer spending over the same period. A fact the beleaguered UK economy would like to raise a glass to. In London, I'm the BBC's Kate McGough for Marketplace.
And finally, the American Academy of Pediatrics today is expected to proclaim SpongeBob SquarePants bad for your preschool child's development. Now, their study found four-year-olds were significantly impaired in executive function, their words, right after watching just 9 minutes of the Nickelodeon show. That's compared to drawing or watching something more educational. I don't know about the kiddies, but I can tell you I've learned a couple of great economic lessons from SpongeBob. Number one, pineapples make great homes, but unfortunately he's underwater on his house. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Multitask, downtime. We use words like that all the time, but do we really know what they mean?
The word boss actually comes from Dutch plantations. A work boss was somebody who was in charge of the overseer of the slaves on the plantation.
That's us, I guess. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Wage Slaves Glossary. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.